So, presumably if you'd set your mind on acting, somebody giving you encouragement from inside the family must have given you a great boost.
Oh, it did. It made the whole thing possible.
Mm.
Because, quite apart from the fact my poor mother hadn't really very much money at that time. She had both my brothers to cope with, who were not earning very much. I don't think John was earning a bean. What Dick was doing, I really don't know at that time. But I think she was giving them both allowances.
Ray was?
No, my mother.
Oh, your mother was?
And she was, really felt she hadn't got any money to waste on that sort of thing for a daughter who ought to be going into society and getting married anyway.
Mm-hmm. How far, looking back on it, and I don't want to get this wrong, how far do you think, in a sense, Pippa and Ray, or just Ray, were trying to rescue you and give you as a woman opportunities which otherwise you wouldn't have got? I mean, is there any element of that in it, or is it just pure kindness to a person who was in trouble?
I think that's an extremely difficult question to answer. I really don't know. I should think they probably were trying to give me a...
accommodation of the two, I think.
Yes. I mean, I wouldn't put it so crudely as to say that there was a fight between them and your mother over you, but in a sense, they win, don't they? Insofar as there was a conflict about what you should do.
Yes, I think so. But I don't think that there was a... I don't know. See, they were very antipathetic anyway.
Mm. But anyway,
mutually antipathetic, I mean, it wasn't.
But they wouldn't have intervened unless you'd been in trouble. I mean, they couldn't have done.
They wouldn't have had any reason to do so.
Mm.
But I suppose they thought I had some talent that might be worth fostering. I don't know.
So then you got to know Ray much better, did you? I mean, you talked to her not only about acting, but about anything
with
a mother, in a way.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Or an intimate friend.
Yes.
I don't think I ever really thought of Ray as a mother. I thought of her as a very much older and wiser friend. Mm. And if I had any problems, I went to her. But I still had... quite a lot of... Although I was living in her house and going to the RADA, I still had a lot of contact with my mother. I never had Ray's feelings loathing dress and fashions and that sort of thing. I had a youthful and healthy interest in clothes and my appearance and so forth, which I suppose just as well if I wanted to go on the
yes,
stage.
Yes, exactly. And you got into, as I may interpret it.
And my mother
was
very good at that kind of thing. She was an excellent dresser and knew exactly what suited her and had very good taste in clothes and so forth. And she was a very great help to me in that kind of way. Although she was not a help, she was a hindrance.
The other way.
Mm. Yeah.
So then Ray backs you up in your career, does she? As I understood, she actually sort of went to some of your first nights and that.
Yes, not very many of them. She certainly came to the first one. And nearly scared the pants off me when I heard she and Pippa were both coming to see my very first professional performance, into which I had been booted by the usual dramatic circumstances of somebody falling out, you know. The whole thing was so pegs paper, it really wasn't true, but I really was scared stiff, really, more than that they were going to be there.
Yeah.
I remember they both trotted round, looking a little shaggy. I'm totally out of place in a theatrical dressing room. And I realised at that point, after the show, that it had been the most tremendous success. And I was very much above myself as a result. I think only actors know exactly what you feel like after a successful first night. Hmm?
Yes.
And what they thought, I simply don't know. They gazed at me, so they'd never clapped eyes on me before.
Because it isn't their world at all, really.
Their world at all, and I don't know what they thought of it, really, except that I suppose they seemed to think it was all right, because they were always very encouraging and interested in what was going on and helpful.
Which makes it all more splendid in a way that they encourage you, since it isn't their world, isn't it?
They were very splendid people. But I always thought that, it was very encouraging, because I had the greatest faith in their judgment. And I thought if they thought it was all right, probably was.
And you actually had by that time, or during that time, came to feel that Ray was a sort of defender in a way, did you, or sort of backing for you?
I wouldn't say a defender exactly. I felt she was a refuge.
Mm.
Because she was someone who was older and more experienced, and somebody that I could confide in about the things which I couldn't talk to my mother about.
Was she busy? I mean,
who?
Ray, did you have to sort of catch her, in a sense, if you wanted to talk about anything?
She was very busy during the day, and quite often was out at night, but quite often wasn't out at night. And she used to sit, and we used to have dinner together continually. And she used to sit in the back room playing Patience and listening to my endless and extremely boring chatter about myself with infinite patience and understanding and humour. I really quite horrified to think of how appallingly selfish and self-centred and self-absorbed one is at that age. And you pour it all out to the first pair of sympathetic ears that happened to present themselves, it was generally Ray's. It wasn't Ray's, with Oliver's at that time.
Where is Oliver in all this? Because Oliver just hasn't featured so far. Because they had curious, sort of, I don't know who described it, sort of semi-detached relationship, didn't they? I mean, they each led their own lives.
Yes.
And it's an odd thing.
Yes, I think that's quite true.
Mm.
But they were extremely fond of each other. He, I think, was very much in sympathy with the woman's movement. And I think they had quite a lot of intellectual contact.
Yes.
I think they were very fond of each other.
Mm. But you never really felt that Ray's public life was in any sense competing with her concern for you, I mean...
Oh, Lord, no. No, certainly not.
Not even when you went down to the mud house and she said, well, if you want to talk to me, you'll have to help me at the same time. I mean, that's not significant in any way.
Oh, no, not significant in the least. No. And if I hadn't wanted to, I shouldn't have done it.
No.
Wouldn't have made any difference at all.
You did actually go down to the mud house with
her. Oh, yes, a great deal.
Mm.
A great deal. We used to go down there, very often at weekends, in a dilapidated, open, old touring Calthorpe. I can remember, I was saying to my husband only the other day that I can remember standing on the running board, because they had running boards in those days, with a large duster or something in my hand, and wiping the snow off the windscreen, because it was before windscreen wipers had been invented.
Well, while the car was going?
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, Mrs. Halpin told me that Ray, she thought, quite deliberately, took the children down herself one week and Christopher another, so that they could have her to themselves and they'd talk to her.
Mm. Yes, I think that's probably quite likely. Maybe she fitted me in the third weekend, I don't know. Because I don't... Of course, Barbara was there quite a bit, but about this time, you see, she was either in Vienna or she was at Oxford, or both. I mean, I can't remember the exact dates. So there was quite a bit of time, and Barbara wasn't there, Christopher was at school. And so I had Ray pretty well to myself. I suppose I took the place, really, of another daughter. I don't know.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, possibly.
What happened at the mud house? I mean, it was completely sort of relaxed atmosphere, wasn't it?
Oh, yes, completely. Very informal. Very informal.
Mm.
There was an old lady called Mrs. Glazer who did the cooking.
An even more shabby sort of milieu.
Oh, yes. I can remember spending hours trying to reupholster the furniture there. Hundreds of yards, forgotten what the material was, something that had been got wholesale. I think it was corduroy, I really can't remember. Anyway, sort of a totally inexpert way of doing it. I didn't know how to upholster furniture, the least. But I managed it better than anyone else, because at least I could thread a needle, which nobody else can do. Oh dear, it's great fun.
But I don't want to outstay my welcome. We ought to get on to Pippa, perhaps, if you can bear the thought of moving on.
Yes.
I mean, Pippa's sort of in the background in all this, really, isn't she? She's not in the foreground until really later.
Yes, very much later.
Mm. And you feel that she was involved in all the discussions?
Yes, looking back on it, I think so. Yes. I don't know that I realised it at the time.
No. And I forgot to ask you, Mrs. Wenzel, did Ray take over your brother or your brothers as well?
No.
In the early crisis?
No.
I see, it was just you.
Well, that's perhaps not quite true, because I know my brothers used to spent some holidays with a character called Auntie Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Was the first Mrs. Russell, first Lady Russell, actually, I suppose, who looked after Julia.
Because there was much more of families looking after their own in those days than there is now.
Yes, I think it's what they call nowadays the extended family.
That's right,
absolutely,
yes.
Which was very nice.
Yes.
Because one felt one had a background.
Yes.
Well, you didn't think of it in those terms, of course,
but there was a sort of framework in which you fitted.
Yes.
So how did you come to know Pippa better then? I mean, how did she come on the scene?
Well, I think gradually. And I think I got to know her better after we were married, darling, really, than before.
Yes, I think you knew her really very well before then.
No.
We both got to know her
better. We both got to know her very well then. And of course, when we got back from South Africa after the war,
in her later years.
In her later years.
Yeah, we got very close in her later years.
Very
did you really?
Yes.
Why, actually, as a matter of interest? I mean, what did you have in common, or what?
Well, I think it probably started when we actually perched in the ancestral home in Gordon Square for a while.
How did you?
We were there for about 6 months, I think. Mm. Pippa was then the landlady. And we saw her practically every day. Although we lived on top floors, we saw a great deal of her. And I always got on very well with her right from the very beginning. I think I quite see why she was probably terrifying, because it was terrifying at first. This awful business about the straight she pauses, which I'm sure you know about.
No, tell me more.
Well, she like all of them, I think, they were very friendly and very amiable, but none of these sort of social graces of keeping conversation going and things in there. And he used to have most agonizing tea parties there. Really, well, it was very amiable, very nice, and then suddenly there'd be a dead silence. And I, being the new one, would try frantically to think of something to say. And they were quite unconcerned. They were just pursuing their own thoughts. And then after a while, they'd say, oh yes, and then so and so. And this could be very forbidding. I mean,
Yes, you realise the habits of the tribe.
And once you got over that and realised it was simply habit, then you kept on to the last days, didn't it? I mean, any minute you could see Bibber, there'd suddenly be a long silence. So that was quite all right, you know, you didn't break it. It was quite all right.
Well, you say I do it.
You do? And I think that possibly might make her, you know, frightening.
Yes, she was very alarming. I think they all were in that way. But I'd got to know my Aunt Dorothy, who lived in the south of France. She was married to the artist Simon Bissy. And her villa was used as a sort of family nursing home. If anybody wasn't well or had had a bad attack of flu or the measles or something, they were sent out there to recuperate. It was a sort of convalescent home. And I got to know Dorothy very well in my early and ill years. I had a lot of ill health when I was quite young. And I got quite used to stretcher pauses then. So as I got older, I was much more able to cope with them. And the Cyril always said, I'd do it too, anyway. But I think that by the time the war came, and I was in my late 20s and we got married, it didn't really worry, this didn't put me off, but I think in early youth, you know, you'd start off and there'd be a conversation and then this long agonizing pause and you wonder, what on earth am I going to say next, you know? And then in their own good time they would go on with the conversation or start another one.
And when you talked, you had to talk to some point. Was that the idea?
Yes, I think so.
To a certain extent, yes. But I never found them at all difficult in the sense of, you know, having to keep on a high intellectual plane.
No,
perfectly ordinary commonplaces, they just talked. I don't know why they did it, really. They just suddenly thought of something.
I think possibly it started a train of thought which wasn't entirely relevant
to
anyone else, and they thought that one out, and when they come to the end of it, they would start again.
What about looks, actually, in Pippa's case? What does she look like?
Oh, good gracious me, haven't you seen the Lamb portrait?
I've seen the portrait, but you see, a lot of people say that portraits don't, or particularly photographs of Pippa, don't actually reveal.
I think their portrait of Lamb is very good.
Yes,
isn't it?
I must get it for you, because really, if you haven't...
Yes.
Yes, that sounds good.
There were distinct click when you turn it off.
Yes, that's
I can see a little light in that black little box.
Yes. Anyway, we were talking about what she looked like. And in fact, here,
there's that sort of almost sort of rather intelligent and quite sort of concentrated interest in what the person's saying to her.
Yes, it's almost sort of slightly quizzical.
I think some people might have thought she was very inquisitive, but it wasn't that at all. It was an intense interest
passionate
in everybody
interest
in she
people. Absolutely passionate interest
met.
In whatever you were saying, however humdrum it was.
Mm.
Always hanging on the words.
Was she really?
Yes.
Why do you think? I mean,
I think she was genuinely interested in people.
Especially anyone to do with the family.
Yeah.
And was all this stored up in any sense and then sort of used in any way, or was it just kindly?
I don't think so. I think it was just kindly addressed.
Mm.
I'm really taking it as it reflects.
Yes.
Take it out on us.
Mm.
I wouldn't like to generalise about it. I'm sure it was like that.
Now, I've often, several people have said to me how she. People confided in her.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I mean, she was that sort of person who was just very good at listening.
Oh, she was a marvellous listener.
Yes, she was
a marvellous listener.
But she was a very good talker, too. She used to tell me great numbers of stories about my father. And when they were young together, and things they'd done and exploits.
Amusingly told?
Yes, very amusingly told.
Most entertaining.
I'm just the sort of phrase. She, well, tell me. Yeah, I don't want you to.
How was it entertaining?
Well, I don't know quite. It's difficult to say. How do you?
Well, see, she was such a remarkably lively person.
Yes.
She really was, and she was right to her in her 90s.
Oh, yes, she was very...
lively is the only way to describe
it. Yes, it is. Really. Very good word.
Her voice went up and down.
Oh, yes.
There was a lot of emphasis.
Great deal of emphasis. Great deal of over-emphasis at times.
Well, they all talked like that all the time. And I think everything that's what made it very much stressed.
So if anything would be funny, it's
yes,
broken like
yes.
Like
oh,
yes.
In
yes.
a way.
Yes.
I see.
But I think... I'm always completely puzzled that people should describe them as being so cold and on a solely intellectual plane, because to me, they weren't like that at all. They undoubtedly were extremely clever and frightfully well read, and very... very highly educated, and they were musically knowledgeable, and they'd read everything that was to be read in both French and English, and in some cases in German and Italian as well. But they weren't just sort of intelligences, and to me they were very warm, loving, friendly, charming,
amusing.
People who were interested in my little affairs and eager to hear every last detail of what I'd been doing and where I'd been and what I'd done and what plays I'd been acting in and what I hoped to be acting in and everything else. I mean, they were just endless interest.
And the same with you?
Yes, I felt about them, you see, that I don't think they were at all intellectual snobs, if you will, but I mean, as long as people had no pretensions to which they pretended to be what they weren't, I think they could have been very forbidding if anybody was putting on the act. But I think...
they could just sort of quietly, with a silence,
I think that would have been very unpleasant. But for anybody who was just being perfectly simple and straightforward, they didn't mind a bit what the level of intellect was at all. I mean, they were very intellectual, they were very clever indeed. But they didn't hold it against other people if they weren't. They were perfectly happy. And they treated them very pleasantly and very kindly, always.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true, because Pippa certainly had friends, and I use that word quite deliberately, in all walks of life.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, certainly.
I mean, she would have a very great friend who would have been a charwoman or a cook or a
as
bus
well as
driver or whatever.
Yes, upper class.
Yes.
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 So there are lots of rather close relationships between her and other people in all directions.
Yes, maybe. I think so.
What about dress? I mean, here she's dressed really, I suppose, as a rather, in a sense, genteel old lady, I suppose.
I think that describes it. She wasn't a great one for dress. She was never
I don't think
smart
any of them, none of them.
No, none of them were at all.
None of them cared tuppence about
but
clothes.
But she wasn't a ragbag. I mean, she didn't
not as bad as Ray, then, in appearance.
Well, I don't think Ray was a ragbag either, really. She just wasn't interested, and she certainly didn't follow the fashions. Or
no.
None of them did. I mean, they just wore suitable.
Yes, that wasn't important. You
clothes.
Go on to more important
yes,
things.
Yes, in fact.
I don't think any of them, certainly Pippa, had no real interest, not only in clothes, but in any sort of material comforts or anything like
oh,
that.
Oh, no, they hadn't.
I mean, they lived in, really, in the old house in Gordon Square, where it was practically squalor by the time they left. But she was quite untouched by it. She didn't think about it. I mean, everything was falling to bits. and filthy tonight. They had this one terrible drunk old maid, you know, who looked after them. And Pippa, you see, she wasn't interested in food, you know, she starved herself until she got rickets or something.
Did she really?
Why
they left the house, because... Yeah.
She was taken, she was carried off
to hospital. She was carried off to hospital in a state of collapse.
She literally used to cut a pea into four pieces.
Yes, I've heard that.
It's quite true, yeah. Absolutely true.
Not interested in material things.
Not material at all.
It was very, very strange because they were interested in books and in things of the mind, in music, to a lesser degree in painting. I don't think they'd have been in the least interesting in painting if it hadn't been for Duncan. You know,
In the south of France.
Duncan Grant.
Oh.
And for Simon Bussy in the south of France, who happened to be members of the family. My grandfather painted a bit too. As an amateur, of course, he was quite good. And
didn't Ray also? Ray painted a bit.
No, dear, not really.
Ray did the most extraordinary collection of family portraits.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Mrs. Halpern's got
ghastly, ghastly caricatures.
Yes.
On bits of cardboard.
Yeah.
She used to catch characteristics, and she did a wonderful one of Dorothy.
I ask you about Ray and Pippa? I mean, did they get on well together?
Oh, yes. Oh, they were very great friends. And worked very closely together. I think Ray used to be exasperated by Pippa's slowness. Ray was very quick. He had one of those quick brains, and she knew at once what ought to be done. But Pippa liked to chew it over. And this sometimes drove Ray into a frenzy, because there was some piece of drafting or a letter that had to be written to the minister, which had to be signed by Pippa, and she would not get down to it. I know somebody else like that.
Strangely characteristic, though.
Yes, it's quite true.
But what did they like in each other, do you think? Were they like each other in other ways?
No, I don't think so. I think it was entirely their mutual passion for the cause.
Mm.
Really.
Did they talk about the cause a lot? I mean,
no, not unless you asked them.
No.
They were none of them bores.
Because, you see, why I ask about this is that the friendship between Ray and Pippa is absolutely central, it seems to me, in the running of the London Society.
Well, I think it was. I think it was.
And anything
that
illuminates their relationship is really particularly well important.
Oh, I think it's terribly important. I don't know very much about that side of it. But I should have said it was frightfully important, and I should have thought they complemented each other, because, as I say, Ray was a very quick and positive sort of person who knew at once what ought to be done. And Pippa was very, in one of the long pauses, she would no doubt be thinking it all out. But it took her very much longer to work it out. And not that she was less intelligent than Ray, but she liked to mull things over, and I should say that they supplemented each other exceedingly well.
Yes, that absolutely fits with what Miss Hilton told me the other day. And do you think, I mean, what Miss Hilton said, I mean, you might be interested in this, Miss Hilton said that she had Pippa had a most extraordinarily perceptive political brain. That is, she could see, as Miss Hilton put it, she could see the consequences of the consequences of the consequences.
Yes.
You know, she was terrifically good at that.
Yes, I think that's probably so. I've heard that she was brilliant at drafting. But I really don't know.
No, that's interesting. It gets at the relationship from quite another angle.
Yes.
Did they laugh a lot together, Ray and Pippa? I mean, was it that sort of relationship? Did they enjoy each other's company?
Oh, yes, I think so.
Yes. Because the great thing about the space is the great hoots of laughter all the time.
Oh, yes.
Oh, there were great,
screams, shrieks. Yes, yes.
Can you imitate the Pippa shriek? Because I've heard it before. I don't know. I don't understand it.
You don't understand it.
I mean, it was sort of. It was a shriek, was it, of laughter?
Yes. Well. Yes, I think so. A sort of a screech.
I see. Yes.
Yes.
Which would set people off, I suppose, just as hearing the screech would start you off again, I suppose.
Well, I think it did in a way, yes. It certainly kept things going.
But it was very entertaining listening to them all talking and laughing together.
Yes, Mrs. Halpin said that that Ray told her. I'll switch myself off if you want. But, I mean, they sound as though they were fascinating groups. What about Pippa towards the end of her life? I mean, I don't know whether you had anything to do with her much towards the end of her life.
Very much. Very much more than anyone else,
I think. I used to go and visit her.
We both did every week.
Every week.
Did you?
Every Sunday. And Cyril used to go in the middle of the week.
Mm.
I used to go every Sunday. We found
her. Well, when you see, she was carted off to hospital, and the house was all folded up all good, she had nowhere to go. My wife spent heaven knows what hunting round for a nursing home for her and found her one up in Putney here. And we brought her here, and well, quite frankly, we rather sort of looked after her for her last.
Did you really?
Last,
what
10 years?
10 years?
Did you really?
Yes, we saw a great deal of her.
How did she sort of cope with old age? I mean,
marvellously.
She was trying to learn Braille right to the end. She went factory bound, but she started trying to learn Braille when she was well over 90, and her fingers weren't sensitive enough anymore. She couldn't do it. She went home. She had a little radio next to her the whole time. She didn't listen to much music. She used to listen to all the talking programs. And I probably enjoyed them, I think.
Oh, she did.
The documentary program.
Yes, or anything, all the quiz programs and anything.
The news. You see, she couldn't read at all. I remember her saying to me once, "Can you imagine what it's like for someone like me who's always read books? Books have been my life. Not to be able to read anymore." And I said, "Yes, I can, all too well." A painfully vivid imagination. It's one of the things I've always been terrified of myself.
Mm.
Not being able to read would be absolute sheer hell. But that's the only time she ever got even near to complaining about anything at all.
Yes. If we ever went to see her, she was just as bright as ever, and the brightest one could come to see her, and carried on the most cheerful conversation always. Mm. Right to the very end.
Yes. Sometimes she was once not very well. And I used to go, and she liked to lie there holding my hand. Well, I found it terribly moving, especially as someone who had not been given to being terribly demonstrative, though she was more demonstrative. All the strangers were more demonstrative than Ray. At least they were to me. They used to hug me when I arrived, and with real affection.
Well, you felt Ray wanted you to hug her, but she didn't actually like the process. Is that the way?
Yes, I think so. Yes. Well, she used to pretend to protest, but I don't think she really objected to it.
No. Because she wasn't a straighty anyway, was she?
No, I mean, she wasn't, certainly. But this is the thing, that I, when I read Mr. What's-His-Name's book, I always get his name wrong.
Oh, you mean
Holroyd,
yes. Mm.
I didn't know, I knew them all very well indeed, except my Uncle Dick, who died when I was quite a young little girl. Or a young girl, anyway. and Lytton, who of course hadn't much use for young nieces. But all the rest of them I knew very well and intimately. I knew Dorothy very, very well indeed, very intimately. Marjorie was a very intimate friend. James I didn't know until later, when I got more grown up.
And you feel that Holroyd's over-intellectualised?
I thought, well, who is he writing about?
I think he dehumanised them terribly.
Dehumanised them, and
yeah.
I thought...
Well, I knew them all very well too. They were in their sort of advanced years.
Yes.
And they were all extremely human, extremely humorous, extremely warm-hearted. And, and of course, highly intelligent, but I think not.
But Pippa, did she make herself popular in the nursing home with people there?
So they adored her.
Did they?
Absolutely adored her.
Just because she was considerate and
she
interested?
She was so brave, she was so courageous. She never complained, even when she was in very bad pain.
Yeah, she was the sort of person all the little nurses loved her, because she always had little jokes with them.
Yes.
Sort of, that sort of thing.
And I remember there was one little West Indian nurse. Well, she was called a nurse, but I suppose in the old days she would have been a probationer. She wasn't really a nurse at all. And she got onto terms with this little creature. Very soon they used to exchange nursery rhymes. People would sing Bar Bar Black Sheep. The little West Jamaican nurse would sing some Jamaican lullaby or something, nursery song to her. And I mean, Pippa was 90 at the time. She wasn't in the least childish, I can tell you that. But I thought this was absolutely marvellous.
But able to converse at any level.
Any level, yes.
Did she resent the loss of independence? Presumably she did, but she didn't show it.
She never showed it.
I think perhaps when she finally had to give up, I think she was past that sort of thing. She was quite glad to be...
She was very old and very tired.
Yes, she was tired, simply.
Yes.
She was in her late 80s.
Yes. One interesting thing, again, I mean, what, letters and some papers and everything. From the whole of her life since 1905.
Yes, pretty well, I think. I know that just before she died, she showed me a little purse she'd had when she'd gone out to India. I can't remember, it must have been towards the end of the 1800s.
Yes, that's right.
And in this little purse was a stone from one of the Indian temples with an elephant or something on it. And the ticket that she had issued to her by the East India Railway, which enabled her to go anywhere in India that she wanted. And my grandfather and my father both worked in the East India Railway Company. And she'd had this ticket all those years. And I found it after she died, amongst her bits and pieces.
It's interesting because the impression is made, but have you read that book by Betty Asquith?
Oh, yes, very good.
Good book, yes, I quite agree. Mrs. Halpern who put me onto that,
actually.
And it is quite clear that the Indian trip was very important in Pippa's life.
Yes, I think it was, because I think it brought out all her organising abilities and her self-reliance and so on.
And what you've said, in a way, is almost incompatible with organising ability. I mean, this shyness, this these long delays, the slowness of decisions and that sort of thing, that doesn't... I mean, one can see how Ray was a good organiser, but one can't see immediately how Pippa was.
Oh, but I think so. I think it would be... She may have had the long pauses, but she then produced the finished article, which had been carefully thought out.
Yes, I think so.
It was all there then. She didn't give prompt answer. It wasn't as late as not much as all that. And when it came, it was
the right
answer. The answer, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, I think perhaps, I don't know, but I should imagine that it was possibly that Ray would see the general line to take and Pippa would work it out syllable by syllable, which obviously is going to take longer. Ray would say, well, we must present the minister with such and such and such and such facts or arguments or whatever. And Pippa would think that over, first of all, whether these were the right lines to go on. And then, if she agreed that they were the right lines to go on, she would then work it out in detail. And in that way, I think...
So, really, you need both Ray and...
I imagine. I don't know at all, because never discussed the work with them. I wasn't particularly interested, at that time. And but I imagine that it must have been that sort of partnership.
But she's in no sense then a sort of blue stocking who she's not in any sense a caricature of a feminist at all. She's very, she's like an old lady in a way, a Victorian lady.
Completely.
Well, they were Victorian ladies.
Yes. Yeah. No, but I mean she was. As you were saying, talking about her, they're saying that the story about her is that she wasn't in the least, well, should we say masculine?
No.
She was very feminine.
Oh, very.
Very,
very capricious, too, and very impish.
Yes, very impish. Absolutely the word. She really was. I think you can see it in that picture, actually. But always the Victorian lady.
Well, let's leave her there, shall we? Well, they were. I mean, they're not easily summed up.
Not at all easily summed up.
But in a way, if you look at them from the perspective of a number of people, one does get a bit nearer.
Yes, quite, yes. Mm. There is.
Mm. Well, I'm most grateful.
To me, you see, they were aunts. They weren't public figures.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I remember quite saying to Pippa when she was in the nursing home, I really must go now, darling, because I must go home and cook Cyril's dinner. She looked at me with horror and said, oh, wish you didn't have to do that.
The Victorian lady, you see, why don't the servants do it?
And I said, yes, but it's really all your fault. She said, what do you mean? Woo! What do you mean? She probably said with a screech. So I said, well, you see, you encouraged all the cooks and the house parlourmaids and the housemaids and the kitchen maids and the footmen and the butlers to go into the factories, but particularly the cooks and the housemaids. Which means, you see, that now there aren't any cooks or house parlourmaids. So we have to do our own cooking and our own sweeping and dusting. And she looked at me with horror and said, how disgusting!
She was helpless in that way, was she?
No, quite. Absolutely.
Mm. Well, they were that generation. My mother couldn't even make a cup of tea. I doubt if Pippa could.
And she starved herself, partly because she wasn't interested in food, but partly because she couldn't have done anything about it.
They had
her
maid.
They had
this... Somebody was put in front of her, and she just didn't eat it. I mean, she
pushed it round the plate, rather.
Yeah.
As far as that went, they were... I was gusty old maid. She used to get drunk and gin every night and drink well. But she did look after them, and she did produce food for them. But Pippa just wasn't interested at all.
And she was terrible about... Poor Elizabeth used to try and buy food for them, and Pippa wouldn't understand that all the prices had gone up, and she wouldn't give Elizabeth enough money to buy the food with. And I'm quite sure Elizabeth used to go and sell things to supplement the housekeeping. I don't know whether that's true or not, but I used to suspect it sometimes.
Yeah, it was a very queer setup that the last year, as it would call
it. Yes, well,
sounds most all that. And was she difficult with money, Pippa, really? I mean,
no,
economical or funny about money?
I don't know. I really haven't any dealings with her about money.
Mm. It sounds that that bank incident sounds as though she didn't want any intrusions on that sphere.
Oh, I should think so. Nobody intruded. I certainly didn't.
And of course, anyway, that generation were much more prudish about money anyway.
Oh, very much.
Oh, very much.
One didn't say what income was.
Acting indecent to talk about it.
Yes.
Either whether you had none or whether you had too much, you just didn't talk.